The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Our good friend Pamela Gertz-Cabati from HouseLogic.com joins us again this week. HouseLogic.com is brought to you by the NAR. It features everything you need to increase, protect, and maintain the value of your home. Welcome back, Pamela. How you doing?
I'm doing great today, Gil. In fact, you know, it's kind of cold here around Washington, D.C. today, and I'm wishing I had a second home somewhere warm with a hammock and a nice cool drink. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. And if the rest of you haven't gotten the hint, we're talking about second homes here. So tell us what people can do to take care of a vacation home when it's nowhere near their main home.
Well, you know, there are two things you have to plan for with a second home: routine maintenance and responding to emergencies. And there are basically three ways to manage it. You either need a professional property manager, the occasional caretaker, or you're stuck with doing it yourself.
Okay, so like most things, convenience comes at a price, yes?
Yes, it does. And a property manager is certainly the most versatile option, and so the most expensive. It's a good option, though, especially if you rent out your vacation home. Property managers can coordinate the rentals. They can do the ads, the showing. They can collect the rent. So that works out really handily. They can also open and close the property for you. They can hire your contractors that you're going to need for maintenance and repairs. And they'll also be the folks that will do the drive-bys to check on the property and certainly take care of any emergencies. But, you know, as I said, it costs. Property managers typically get 20 to 60% of the rental income from your vacation home. So let's run that through. Say you have a ski chalet and it rents for $1,000 per week. So then you're going to hand over anywhere from $200 to $600 of that income to the property manager. But like anything in life, fees are negotiable. So you want to find out all they're going to charge you for the management fee. You want to see that fee itemized for sure. And because you might want some services and not some others. You want to be sure you ask questions. That's what's really important.
Okay, obviously there's a lot of trust involved here and a lot of responsibility. So how do you find a property manager?
That's an excellent question. And the best place to go is to talk to other owners of second homes near yours, see who they're using. Or you can search online. There are sites. One of them is managemyproperty.com. It's a good place to look. And you also want to look for folks who have membership in a trade group like the Vacation Rental Managers Association, because that adds credibility.
Okay, what if I don't want a property manager to do all these things? I just want somebody that I can call if somebody says, yeah, pipe's leaking or something like that. So, you know, just a caretaker.
So that can be a great solution, absolutely, especially if you don't plan to rent the place out, or if, you know, you're renting it out but you want to handle that part of it yourself. You can hire a local house cleaner or handyman to maintain your vacation home. You might want the person to go to the house, say, once a month and, you know, so turn on the faucets, flush the toilet, inspect for damage, those sorts of things. You work that out with them. How much you pay will vary by location and exactly the nature of those caretaking tasks that we just talked about. Cleaning, for instance, depends on the number of rooms. A good rule of thumb for calculating cleaning fees is to multiply the number of bedrooms and bathrooms combined by $20. So make sure any house cleaners or handymen are bonded and insured. That's important since they're going to come and go at your property. And, you know, even for your caretaker, it's good to ask your neighbors for referrals.
Well, maybe you could just work out a deal with a neighbor.
Yep, you can. You can absolutely share a caretaker, and they can check on your property and their property, check on them both, and that's a good way to go. There's something we haven't talked about that I think is really important. Let's take a minute and talk about maintenance, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, so I really want to underscore that, because whether it's your primary or your secondary residence, preventative maintenance is so important. It reduces the risks of emergencies, and, you know, it really solves more expensive problems if you handle the little jobs right up front. So, for example, you have some cracked caulk around the window. Maybe behind that caulk, water's getting into your sheathing. It's causing mold. It's causing rot. Before you know it, you're looking at a $5,000 repair that could have been prevented with a $4 tube of caulk. So maintenance also helps keep up the value of your home. A study by researchers at the University of Connecticut and Syracuse University suggests that maintenance actually increases the value of a home by about 1% each year.
Okay, this is all good, but let's say I don't have a property manager, I don't have a caretaker, I don't have a helpful neighbor. Then what do I do?
And then you're just pretty much out of luck, Gil. No, I mean, Kidding. You need to go into that DIY mode, and you need to keep a list of local repair companies at your fingertips. You want to compile for yourself a list of plumbers, electricians, exterminators, anything else you think you might need. Now, you can ask the other homeowners for recommendations, but as you've said, if they're uncooperative or they don't have anyone, you can turn to a service like Angie's List.
Okay, well, sometimes you have a hunting lodge or a fishing lodge or something, and the nearest neighbor is miles away. So
well,
it's not
true.
That they're uncooperative. It's just that they're, a long way away.
Not there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So anything else I should know here?
Yeah, there is. So if you have an emergency at a second home, anyone you have, especially if you're DIYing it in terms of your care and maintenance, they're going to have to get into the house, right? And so, short of keeping the key in like under a rock somewhere, under your mat, they're going to need to get in. So a great way to deal with that where you don't need a key is to consider installing a keyless entry system. Works really well in terms of emergencies. You can give the code to a repairman over the phone, and it works really well. Now, you want to search for keyless deadbolts and other systems online. There's some great resources. They start around $100.
Yeah, and those are great for a number of reasons, one of which is I don't have to change all the locks if, between tenants or something. I can just change the code, and that's a lot easier and saves a lot of money and grief.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, great. A lot of good advice, as usual. Pamela Gertz-Kabati, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Gil.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.